In Jeremiah chapter 33, we read verse 3. The Lord says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." This is an amazing and powerful verse of Scripture from the Word of God. And during a sermon a few months ago, I made a statement to this congregation that if we here at Harmony were suddenly restricted in what spiritual exercises we might be allowed to do as a church, and we were only allowed one spiritual exercise, I would choose prayer over everything else. Now, somebody might think that it would be more important to preach and teach the Word than to pray, but I would answer that preaching and teaching would be useless without prayer. And somebody might say that witnessing to the lost world in the community would be the most important thing, since the spreading of the gospel is the primary commission of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would answer that witnessing for Christ without showering those efforts with prayer would be to ensure that no spiritual seed would ever germinate from our efforts, and they would be wasted first and last. And somebody might think that gathering to worship as we do would be the most important thing, because it has the great and powerful and salutary effect of building up the saints in the faith. But I would answer that gathering to worship would be no worship at all without the sanctifying power of prayer to consecrate such worship services. And so that's why I said and say again that if we were left to one spiritual exercise, let it be prayer. So this morning we want to begin a Bible study on prayer. We want to make it a study because I believe that the most powerful, effective, organized, emboldened, useful churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are those which have a powerful, effective, bold, unified prayer life. I believe that whatever church will be is determined by height, breadth, depth of its prayer effort. And I believe that every deficit that a church may experience in spiritual or in material needs can be overcome and eradicated by prayer. And I believe that spiritual deficits and material deficits are not, that at least the material deficits that are not given to us of God as a gift for our trial, those deficits, whatever they are caused by a deficit in prayer life of a church. I believe with all my soul we can trace back every loss of spiritual strength, every loss of material gain that is not given to us for a test, that a church suffers to a loss in the efficacy and the power and the promotion of the power and the promotion of the activity of prayer in that church. So I pray that God will help us, beginning this morning, to experience a total revival in prayer effort by the time this study is over. Now we're going to look at the following topics about prayer during this study. We're going to look first of all this morning at the necessity of prayer. And God willing, this evening we're going to look at the power of prayer. And then next week at the Sunday school, Lord willing, we're going to look at the elements of prayer. And last, we're going to finish up with the objects of prayer. And if God stops us there, that's where we'll stop. If not, we'll continue on because there are other subjects. But led by the Spirit, we felt that we've laid out some of the essential keynote points about prayer. Now, if it's not possible to finish this study in four sessions, we'll roll them over into the next session, because we aim that what God has given us be presented in its entirety for each segment that He laid on our heart to talk about. Now, we want to then first look at the necessity of prayer. What in Scripture and what about God's dealing with us regarding prayer makes it such that we can call prayer the necessary thing that we certainly know the Scripture tells us that it is. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7 to begin to look at this thought and think about why it is that prayer is a necessity for the people of God. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, well-known verse and portion of Scripture for most of us, doesn't hurt to review it. Jesus' famous words to us about praying. Says He in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, receiveth. Asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." We read these verses to you last week as part of a message. And reviewing them again, Jesus really does answer here the question as to why prayer is a necessity for the saints of God. For at least one thing is revealed in His statement here, and that is that praying to God is the God-ordained means of getting things from the Lord that we need and want and must have as spiritual beings. It is the ordained means that God has given to men to get what they need from God. We find that there's no other means that we discover in Scripture by which God has given us a channel to get things from Him other than asking, seeking, and knocking. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 7, God asked Solomon a very important question. And what He said was in there, "Ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee." Solomon is presented with a challenge from God. He says, "Ask what I shall give thee." And by that we understand that this is the same kind of invitation that our Savior has given us here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Asking from God, seeking from God, knocking to have it open to us from God is essential to God's people because it is the source of our getting from God. In Psalms chapter 2 and verse 8, that verse of Scripture begins with this: "Ask of me, and I will give to thee." Ask of me, and I will give to thee, which is the divine commitment from the God of heaven to give to the children of God what they ask of Him. Now I hope before this study is over that we can understand that everything that the Spirit of God gives us a license and a permission to ask of God, we may freely ask of Him. And I trust the Spirit of God will help us to understand that our route of finding and getting from God lies solely in our prayers to God. So prayer is essential for the saints of God because it is the God-ordained means of getting things from the Lord. Prayer is necessary also because it is a scriptural truth or maxim that we have not because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. You know, God's people have spiritual dearths, and they have material dearths of things that are both needful and would be greatly enjoyed. And the reason that they have them is because they ask not of God. In the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 2, James, by the Spirit of God, reminds us of this great truth. You have not because ye ask not. You know, if we lack something that we need, it's because we've not asked for it from God. That's the simple matter of fact, brothers and sisters. Do you need something this morning that you do not have? Why is it that you will go in need of that which you are in desperate need of, when in fact going to the Heavenly Father and simply calling upon His name and asking Him plainly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for what you need will bring that thing to you? Apart from our feeling of unworthiness, apart from our hesitancy to call upon the Most High God, there remains no reason or no excuse whatsoever for us not asking from God what we need. Now, we find ourselves beleaguered sometimes by a feeling of worthlessness. Brothers and sisters, in the matter of asking from God that which we need, you are no more worthless or useless at one time than at another. If you are unworthy of something from God, you have always been unworthy. If you feel useless in calling upon God, that because you are just a house made of flesh, you have always been that before God. Nothing has changed except this, that if you're a child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ has made you right before the Heavenly Father. And being right in Jesus makes it right to ask of God the things that you need when you need them. And so because it is essential for us to go to God for things that we need, and because it is necessary to ask in order to have, we say if we lack something that we need, it's because we've not asked God for it. I know that too often we are distracted by life's events. We're distracted by maybe even being too proud to ask of God. You know, the step of asking from God does have a challenge to pride in it. We, as human beings, cannot escape the fact that as children of Adam, we have this pride in us that prevents us from calling upon God sometimes as we ought. We have a kind of pride. It is hung about our neck like a rotting albatross, and we have to live with it and learn to kill it. But it is still there. And in this spirit of pride, too often it distracts us from calling upon God for the very things that we want and need, because it means to step down one level. And Adam does not want to do that. And so being distracted in this way by pride, we often fail to ask of God, because asking of God humbles the soul. Now, brothers and sisters, you might think that a born one of God would have no problem whatsoever in humbling his soul before God. But you know, we find every day folks that are too independent-minded, too independent-thinking to ask of God what they need. And this in itself, the feeling of independence, the feeling of lack of dependence upon God, the feeling that we don't have to get it from God, we can get it for ourselves, is in itself a kind of pride. And we must get beyond that pride and get to the place of humility where we must recognize that we cannot get the things that we need in the Spirit unless we get them from God and be willing to say, "Oh Lord God, help me and grant to me what I need, because I know I cannot get it on my own." And letting go of the human pride and recognizing our place before God will cause a humility of our soul that we cannot get otherwise. And asking of God in this condition will remind us as askers how great God is. How great is our God really? You know, the strange thing about praying, or not praying as it were, is that our not praying itself sets God in a light of smallness. It puts God in a light of lowness. It places God in a place where our prayer life itself defines Him as being less of a God than He is. It places us in a place where we cannot exalt the great and mighty sovereign God, because we deny that He exists and He lives as the Father in heaven to grant to us our needs and desires in the Holy Spirit. And that places God in a second-rate standing in the eyes of ourselves and the eyes of the world. But when we ask of God, it reminds us how great God is, because He's the giver of everything that we can possibly need. And He's the source of all those gifts that are always perfect from heaven. And also, as part and parcel of this pride, no pride thing, we find that asking of God provokes the seeker to evaluate his or her own condition of soul and life. The one thing that your prayer life can do for you that you cannot get anywhere else is that you learn an inward evaluation of yourself, of your condition at the moment and at the hour that you call upon God. You are made aware of the condition of your soul. You are made aware of your relationship with God. And you are made aware of whether that relationship is in good standing, of whether that relationship is free of any encumbrances. It will make you to understand what your true relationship to God is at any given moment of time. That's what praying will do for you. And that's why we say it is essential, it is necessary, because if we ask not, we have not. It is necessary to get to the place where our spiritual condition is what it ought to be. And certainly going to God in prayer causes us to evaluate our own condition of our soul and our life before the Lord. As we look further, we know that prayer is a necessity because it is the communication link to God. In our text verse itself, if we refer to no other place in the Bible, we are taught that it is a connection point, a communication link to God. Call unto me, saith the Lord, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And in Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, God is telling Israel that after 70 years of captivity, He's going to do them good again and cause them to return to their land. And He follows that news, that wonderful news to the Jews about turning an eye of favor toward them again and bringing them back to their own land. He follows that news with this statement. Then, saith He, shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Prayer is necessity because it is the communication link to God. When David sings about approaching God in Psalms chapter 95 and verse 2, he says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. This is the kind of prayer that makes our souls aware of all that God has done for us. But it is prayer. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Can we not see that to come before the presence of God with thanksgiving is to come with a certain kind of prayer that recognizes God for all of the things that He's done for us? It is the way of communicating to God that we are sensitive and sensible to what He's done for us and how He's done it. And so we say to you that prayer is essential because it is the communication link that we have to God. You know, any human that wishes to talk with God has to pray. If you must talk to God, then brothers and sisters, you must pray. As a lost sinner, having the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon your soul, in order to talk to God about it, you have to pray. This is the truth about prayer and its essentiality to our spiritual life. No communication with God is possible without prayer. When a person goes to communicate to God, regardless of how one or anyone might classify that talking to God, it is a praying. And we must go through prayer to communicate with God. The desire to talk to God can be measured by the frequency of prayer. We can measure how much we want to communicate with God by how often we talk to God. We can measure how much we care about communicating with God by measuring when, where, how, and why we call upon the great God of heaven. In Psalms chapter 5 and verse 3, David says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. David is about it early in the morning. David, before anything else takes place, David begins early to communicate with God. He commits the freshness of his rested self to prayer. He's going to God early in the morning. He considers it important enough to make it one of the first endeavors of his wake-up time in the morning. He acknowledges God and consults with God before even beginning the matters of state that he has to deal with as king of Israel. He says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning." This is David praying to God, recognizing its necessity as a communication link to God. And David prayed unto God and was successful in those things that he prayed about because he made it a priority, knowing so well that it was his link to God, to talk to God, to commune with God, to fellowship with God, to find his place in the relationship with God in the kingdom of God. We find also that the responses of God to people can be measured by the frequency of prayer going up to Him. Let me say that again. The responses of God to His people can be measured by the frequency of prayer going up from God's people to Him. That sounds like a pretty outlandish statement. God helping me, when we look at the power of prayer in the second segment, we will show again and again that it is a very truth that God's response to the people of God, God's response to you as one of His children, is directly proportional to how often you go to God with a voice, talking to God, praying to God, thanking God, praising God, communicating with God in some kind of prayer. That's how often God communicates with you, because God communicates with His people through the mode of prayer. You want to be more in communion with God? You want to be more in fellowship with God? You want to be closer to God by hour and by day and by week and by month? You want to hear from God more often than ever before? Pray to God more often than ever before, and you will hear from God more often than ever before. I fear, brothers and sisters, that the crying fault of our day among the children of God is failure to commit themselves to a prayer life that honors God, that proves that they believe that God is a rewarder of them that do diligently seek Him. I believe that our prayer life truly deteriorates that great truth in the eyes of the world because we do not call upon God, or we do so only infrequently. And just so, that infrequently, God responds to His people. Now we find also that prayer is a necessity because it is an essential element of our spiritual life. I want to go take you to the book of Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We want to read a couple of verses and show you something about this great truth that prayer is an essential element of spiritual life. In Luke chapter 22, if you'll turn over there. Luke chapter 22. Most of you remember the account of the Lord Jesus Christ going to the garden and entering into a great prayer band between Him and the Father. Most of you have heard the story about, as John tells us, his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood as he agonized in the garden before God the Father. And here in the book of Luke, we find something that gives us a great truth about the essential element of the spiritual life that prayer becomes. In verses 39 through 40, we read this. "And he came out and went as he was wont." I want you to mark that down. "Now, went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation." Pray that ye enter not into temptation. If we stopped right there and never referred to another verse in the Bible to show you the critical element that prayer is in the spiritual life of a saint, we would nail it down with that one verse right there. Jesus said to His disciples, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And in the same manner, we find that this is exactly the charge from the Lord to us to avoid entering into a place in our life where our spiritual life becomes detractive, where it becomes something that it ought not to be, where it degrades into a case of entering into temptation. Says the Lord, pray that you enter not into temptation. And by that He teaches us that certainly it is an essential element to our spiritual life. What the Lord Jesus Christ had going on here in the book of Luke was a prayer watch. He committed the disciples to a prayer watch with Him. And He went off a stone's throw and began to pray also. But He said, you stay here and you pray, you watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. I think the people of God should conduct prayer watches. I believe that when we as the children of God see a temptation begin to approach, when we see Satan in all of his violence approach the people of God, approach the church of God, approach our individual selves, and begin to offer temptation, I believe the only solution for it, the only success to escape from it, is to pray lest we enter into temptation. And I believe if we don't pray, we may become ensnared by the devil's devices. Critical spiritual events or crises in our lives should set off a prayer watch, brothers and sisters. There's nothing that can deal with the things that happen to us spiritually concerning spiritual crises like the great God of heaven, and nothing brings the power of God to bear upon our lives like going into prayer and calling upon God. So we need a prayer watch that we might be prevented from entering into temptation. Every time that we enter into temptation, it'll be a time when we have not been praying. That is a fact of our spiritual lives and our carnal conflicts. Every time we enter into temptation, if we examine it, it will be a time when we have not been praying. Every time we find ourselves in a state of spiritual slumber or a state of spiritual laziness, it'll be when we have not been praying. It'll be that time. Every time we find ourselves out of shape spiritually, every time we find ourselves out of shape in the matter of how we are going to God, it will be when we have not been praying. Every time a calamity catches us unaware, it is at a time when we, in our lives, have drifted off from a habit of praying and we have gotten careless about talking to our Heavenly Father. This is a truth that we find recurrent again and again in our lives, that when we have drifted away from our prayer life, temptations come and crises come and things fire up and calamities catch us off guard. Spiritual health is dependent on praying, brothers and sisters, and spiritual readiness is dependent on praying. An awareness of spiritual dangers is dependent on praying. We cannot do without it. We must have it. Oh God, give us prayer that we may call upon Him in the hour when those calamities threaten, when those temptations strike, when we are led afield by things occurring in our life that take us away from God. Give us grace to be praying about them, that in our prayer life we may literally attack the fortress of Satan and drive him backward by the power of calling upon God and finding the face of God and finding God ready to defend us and ready to go in our behalf and do whatever is necessary to prevent our lives from going askew, to prevent our churches from being led astray, to grant power to us in time of need. God grant us to recognize that prayer is an essential element of our spiritual life, and we cannot do without it if we are to have spiritual health and vigor in our life, both as individuals and as a church. As an essential element of spiritual life, prayer will stabilize our spiritual health, and it will enable us to be consistent in our lifestyle for God. There's nothing, brothers and sisters, that can possibly stabilize us in this volcanic world better than, or in addition to, or in the place of prayer. It will stabilize us And it will make us to be consistent in our lifestyle toward God, and nothing else will. If you turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 6, and read verse 10, we find Daniel confronted with a decree by the king. And the king has decreed this: you'll not pray to anybody but me. You'll not be called praying or going before your personal gods to pray. But brothers and sisters, Daniel had a personal God beyond all gods. The great I Am was the God of Daniel. Daniel knew it. Daniel was aware that the great I Am was the supreme of all things. That He was the only true God. And though Darius laid down the law, though he said, "You cannot pray unless you pray to me," Daniel could not deny the internal workings of his soul in the matter of prayer. And in the 10th verse of the 6th chapter of Daniel, the Bible says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and he gave thanks before his God." Now listen to this. "As he did formerly." As he did formerly. What is the Bible telling us there? The Bible is telling us that it was the habit of the great Daniel to call upon God, call upon Him regularly and recurrently, to go before God for the things that he needed, to recognize that his spiritual life hinged on talking to God, communicating with God. And so when the decree came out from the king to forbid this, Daniel ignored it. And brothers and sisters, when it comes time to make a decision about serving God or not serving God, and it may come a time when the very laws of the land may say, "No, you cannot do this. You must obey this law." We need to be ready, steadfast, and immovable for God. We need to show the consistency of our lifestyle for God. We need to recognize that it's more important that we talk to God than our very necessary food. And we need to go to God. We need to learn a lifestyle of prayer. And if we have a lifestyle of prayer, we need to be consistent in that lifestyle. And like Daniel, whatever it is we do, we need to kneel before God in our daily pattern, despite the king's decree, and give thanks to God and ask of God our needs for the day as we did formerly. This makes it an essential element that will work for the people of God. Prayer is essential because it is the primary communication outlet of the spiritual you. It is essential because it is the primary spiritual communication outlet of the spiritual you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul, in instructing the Corinthian brethren, made a statement there that has a wonderful gem of truth in it about this. He says in that verse, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." There is a wonderful truth about our prayer, and that is that it is the spiritual outlet of the spiritual us. And brothers and sisters, concerning our interaction with God, prayer is the very way that our spiritual us gets expression in the spiritual world, and it's the only way that it can. You know, in this old body of flesh, we are locked up in many instances from spiritual outlets. We don't have a spiritual outlet through the flesh except by word and deed. And when we do the deed of praying to God and use the wonderful words of prayer to go to God, we are in fact turning our spiritual us loose and letting it have an outlet to the eternal God. "I will pray with the Spirit," the Apostle says. May God give us the grace to pray with the Spirit and do it often, because it is that communication outlet that our spiritual selves need and desire. Prayer is an essential element in our lives because it is the means for growing in understanding about all things. Let me say that again. Prayer is the essential element that it is in our lives because it is the means for growing in understanding about all things. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, the Scripture says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You know, I can have a head full of knowledge, my friend, and be as stupid as a rock in regard to how to apply it. I can be a brain. I can be an expert. I can be a genius of every sort. But if I lack the ability to apply what goes on in my brain, what is there? I have nothing whatsoever, because the Scripture tells us that knowledge within itself simply puffs people up. But we find that the wisdom of God gives us insight into the usefulness of the knowledge that God has given us. And we recognize that we cannot grow in understanding of any kind, neither secular nor spiritual, without wisdom. We just end up with a head full of gibberish called knowledge, no wisdom to use it constructively without the wisdom that we need to sort it. So it is essential as a means for growing and understanding about all things. Prayer is essential. Let him ask of God, says James, if any of you lack wisdom. You know, all you need is to ask of God if you have things that you don't understand. All you need to do is ask of God, and He will give to you liberally what you need to understand the things that you hear, the things that are going on in your head. That's essential to know that in order to grow in understanding. And you won't get it without asking of God. So prayer, brothers and sisters, is essential for humans. It's the force and the link which connects us in this carnal existence to the realm of the spiritual and to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We must pray to get the things from God which will mature us into adult Christians. We must pray and call upon God to get things that will make us into useful servants of the Lord. And we must pray in order to get from God what we need. We must pray in order to express to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit our appreciation of what He is to us. We must talk to God in spiritual prayers to interchange with God in the way that God has ordained that it be. And I pray that God may simply give us the grace and the abiding power to call upon Him and to go before His presence with prayer, to pray, as the Apostle says, without ceasing. May God give us grace to do that.